This morning, I want to get into the Word today, and I want to welcome you here today that are here physically and those who are watching online. And we're going to continue in the series, Get in the Game. And so my topic this morning is Get in the Game, It's Time to Connect. And so we want to talk about connecting in terms of friendship, in terms of relationship in the body of Christ. I believe it's so critical that individually we connect with other believers and have that community and have that fellowship that we so desperately need. I think that loneliness or being left alone or being ignored is one of the worst things that a person can experience. And I was reading, I read an article the other day, and it was quoting a small town newspaper put this letter in the newspaper to its subscribers. And it was actually a letter written by a little boy who had spent some time with his grandparents. But his time with them hadn't gone quite that great. And so he was worried, so he wrote a letter to his grandmother, and his grandmother actually put it in the paper. And here's how it went. He said, "Dear Grandma Kubaszewski, I had lots of fun at your house. I'm sorry I dug up all your plants. I am sorry I used a whole roll of toilet paper. I am sorry I put it in the toilet. I am sorry I tried to flush it down. I am sorry the water went all over your floor. I am sorry I bothered your neighbors. I am sorry I made Grandpa mad. I am sorry for putting sand in your rainwater. I'm sorry I lost 3 spoons. Grandma, can I come again for a few weeks in the summer? Your grandson, Gary." So, Grandma and Grandpas, would you let Gary come back? Okay. You know, there's another article I read, and this woman wrote a letter to Dear Abby, and she said it like this. She said, "I'm a widow. After 46 years of marriage, I lost my precious husband. If that wasn't enough, now I experience the loss of our friends. I wish people would still include me, come to see me. I have never known such loneliness. If only somebody would call. Do you know her?" It happens. Amen. I think loneliness is one of the worst things. The philosopher Spinoza said this. He said, "Man is a social animal, and everyone out there needs someone else." And so the truth of the matter is, folks, no matter who you are this morning, you need somebody else. We're not designed to be alone, and I think loneliness is one of the worst things. And so there's an incredible need for community, for relationship, for friendships. And the Bible acknowledges that. In fact, the Bible is implied all throughout Scripture that we need each other, we need God, and we need each other. One of the great myths of relational life is this, that somehow community is something that can be found. That if I just meet the right person, I can have in order for me to have friends, I just have to meet the right people. And if I can find the right people, then I'm going to have some good friendships. Or if I can just find the right person to marry, then I'll have a great marriage. Or if I just find the right church, that I'm just looking for a church that has that where I can find true community, or I want to have a job where there's true relationships and friendships and community on the job. And unfortunately, there are people running all hither and thither, going here and there, looking for community, trying to find the right place, trying to find the right person, trying to find the right church, trying to find the right group that where I can experience community. And I want to tell you that's a myth. Community is not found. Community is built. Community is forged. You don't find friendships, you build friendships. You don't find a great marriage partner, you build a great marriage. You see anybody that has a good marriage, they built that marriage. It didn't just fall out of the sky. You find a church where there's community in a church, the people in that congregation built that community. It didn't just happen. If you get into a small group and you find community in that group, those people in that group built that community. It's not a matter of just going to find it and you're looking for it. It's a myth. It doesn't work like that. But that mindset is rampant in our day. People think like that. They think, man, I just got to find the right place, find the right person. No, a lot more depends on your response than you want to sometimes acknowledge. And so community is not something you find, it's something you build. And so it's not something you discover. And so what we want to talk about this morning is I want to give you a few things. I want to give you some reasons why God is calling you to build community. That if you want community, if you want relationship, you have to be willing to take some steps and to do some things in order for you to build that community. You're never just going to find it. You're never just going to walk into a church and say, oh, man, instant community, there it is. That's not the way it works. So let me give you some reasons why God is calling us to pursue connections, why he's calling us to pursue deep relationships and build that community with other people. First of all, deep friendship is God's plan. And so it's part of God's plan. It's stated, but it's also assumed all through Scripture. In fact, our God is a triune God. God is not lonely. He's never been lonely. We have three persons in one God. And so God himself is a triune God. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't say, my Father. We say, our Father, who art in heaven. It's assumed. The Scripture assumes community. It assumes connection. It assumes friendship. When we're born, we're not just born by ourselves. We're born into a family. When we're first born, we're helpless. Without community, without family, we can't live. We can't last. Not only is that true physically, but it's true in every way. Emotionally, spiritually, we need family. When we come to the faith, when we come to Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become part of a large Christian family of brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the whole tenor of Scripture. That's the way God thinks. That's the way life is. In fact, when you read the Scripture, we're commanded to love one another, encourage one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, be at peace with one another, wash one another's feet, respect one another, submit to one another, forgive one another, comfort one another, pray for one another, confess our sins to one another, be hospitable towards one another. Every one of those commands requires that we're in relationship with somebody else. Without being in a relationship, none of those things make any sense. And so you're created for community. You're sitting here this morning saying, well, Dave, I'm not really experiencing the kind of connections and friendships I want. And maybe it's just not who, you know, maybe I'm just not wired that way. Not true. Every one of you is wired, is created for community, for relationship. And so sometimes we think of a church as a place we visit rather than the reality that in no church is who we are. We're to be the church. We don't visit the church. And sometimes it's a part of our culture. We have this mindset, well, I'm going to go to church today. We're going to go to church. And we go to a place, and we visit, we go back home. That's not what church is. This is only, our gathering here this morning is only one small part, small aspect of it. We can't have true community this morning in a crowd like this. It doesn't work. We can say hi to one another. We can drink a coffee. You might be able to talk to a couple of people, but we're not going to experience the kind of community and the kind of relationship that the Bible talks about in this kind of setting. That we need small group settings. We need other connections outside of what happens on a Sunday morning. The early church didn't talk about going to church. They talked about being the church. In fact, if you read Acts chapter 2 and right after the birth of the church, it goes like this. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all the believers were together and had all things in common. And they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. They lived in continual devotion to the Lord and to one another. And so that fellowship that the early church experienced was like an intravenous flow of life. There was just life that took place in that body of believers. Second reason why we need to connect is that our modern secular culture is not very good at building relationships. We live in a culture that's not great at it. And so the attitude of the Western culture is that we're self-made people, that we don't really need anybody else, that we do it ourselves. We're self-made people. And so if you ask a man, men are worse at this than women. But if you ask a man to name his best friend, you'll likely he'll tell you about somebody that he used to know 20 years ago. Or maybe he hasn't even talked to him for 6 months. Men don't do good at having quote unquote best friends. In fact, there are many men that don't have any friends. Women are slightly better, but only slightly. And especially with the way our culture is these days, especially with the internet and with smartphones and all the rest of it, all that has really done is actually made us more isolated, not more connected. And so we don't do good in our secular culture. You know, I remember the first time this really hit me was before the internet. Actually, in the early 90s, 1990, I think, or 91, I went down to Central America. And we went with a team. We sent a couple of teams. In those early years, we were sending teams from Harvest City into Central America, and it's particularly Guatemala. And I remember the very first time I went to Guatemala. It was a total paradigm shift for me in terms of what I experienced. And, you know, we went there because we felt like we had something to give. And it's true. We had money. We had material things. We had knowledge. We had some things like that. But when we went there, it impacted me greatly that they had something that we don't have. They had community. They had friendships on a level that I had not seen. In fact, it really impacted me. And after I was there a few days, I remember thinking, you know, who's better off? Are we in North America better off than those in Central America? Well, materially we are, but relationally, no, we weren't better off. They had much deeper friendships, community. I remember walking down the streets of a small town in the southwest corner of Guatemala, which was one of the poorest areas of Guatemala. I remember walking down the street one day in this village, and it was in the evening, and people were sitting on their front steps, and the streets were really narrow. And people were all lined up, sitting on their front steps, just talking to one another, talking to their neighbors, laughing, having fun. And I just saw a level of friendship and relationship and community that I'd never seen before. I'd never seen that here. And I thought, you know what? These people have something we don't have. They have time. They have time. They have time to spend with each other. They have time for friendship. They have time for relationship. We don't have time. We're too busy running. Amen? And so I started realizing how important relationship community is. I saw it on a whole different level. Third thing is, life change happens best in community. You know, we want to change, amen? Anybody here want to change? Think you can become a bit more like Jesus? Think we got some growing to do. We do. You know, and as great as the preaching that comes from this platform, I'm sorry, it's not going to do it for you. It's only one small part of it. Actually, in order for you to grow spiritually, you need other people in your life. You need relationship. You need Brother Sandpaper and Sister Chopper. You need those people in your life. Amen? And if you're married here today, your spouse, yes, she's part of that or he's part of that, but they're only part of it. They need help to sand you and chisel you to become more like Jesus. And so community is one of the most powerful aspects of God working life change in you and I. We need each other. We need to hear from one another. You know, the true community actually happens this way. True community actually happens not by just people getting together. You can get together and watch the Riders lose a football game. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. Too much pain here. You can get together for that. Not necessarily is that great community. What's really good community is when you get a group of people together and they start thinking and they start talking like Jesus. That's community. Where we start to understand how he thinks, understand what his values are, understand what truth is, and we all start thinking the way Jesus thinks, the way that God thinks. That kind of thinking, that kind of mindset starts collectively coming into our minds. That's community. That's what it's all about. That's why we need small groups. That's why we need to be in personal friendships and connections within the body of Christ. You know, Linda and I have been part of small groups ever since we got saved, before we knew that there were small groups. We got saved, and right away we wanted to grow. So what Linda and I did is the church we belonged to. Churches didn't have small groups in those days, and so we were part of a church. And this is long before we were in ministry. We were just brand new believers, and we started connecting with people. We started making friendships with people in the church, outside of the church. We started leading people to Christ, people that I worked with, and we invited people to our house. We just kept inviting people to our house. And we'd get our Bibles out and say, well, we're just going to study the Bible. I mean, we're brand new Christians. We didn't read, no one end to the other. We'd never read the Bible yet. We just were starting. But we had people in our house, and we started discussing the scriptures. We would just open the Bible and say, well, let's study 1 Peter this for a few weeks. And so we'd open the Bible. We didn't have a study guides or anything. We just open the Bible, read a few scriptures, and just say, what do you think that means? And we just have discussions. Well, what we didn't realize was we started growing like crazy. It just started, we just had fallen into something, and we started building relationships and connections, and amazing things took place. And so Linda and I have been as part of small groups right from that day right to this day. Is that we realized and we found out that having people in my house and talking to people and having them talk to me and praying together with people and connecting with people, that's where spiritual life and spiritual growth really takes place. There's just an amazing aspect to that. Praying together, sharing together. The fourth reason why you need a small group or you need connections is you need a safety net. You need a safety net. One day, you know what's going to happen? You may be sitting here this morning saying, my leg's pretty good right now. I want to tell you that one day your life's not going to work. It's just a matter of time. You know, when Linda and I, you know, it took Linda and I a little while to figure that out. But, you know, sometimes we think we just need money, we just need a good job, we just need a good career. No, you need friends. We need emotional and we need spiritual support. You need somebody that if you're in real trouble that you can call them up at 2 o'clock in the morning and they're not going to hang up on you. You know, in the early days of being a Christian, for Linda and I, and moving into ministry, we were pretty naive. I mean, Linda and I have had a good marriage right off the bat. We just have had a good marriage. We've worked at it. We still work at it. But we've always had a good marriage. And when we got saved. And we started really growing in the Lord. And we were hungry for God. And we were on the same page. And we were lockstep together in our spiritual hunger and our drive for the Lord. And so we kind of looked at ourselves as kind of having it together. I'm just going to be confession time. You know, we were naive. We thought, well, you know, we got a pretty good handle on things. We know we know how to be married. We know how to have kids, and we got a pretty good family, and we're pretty good at relationships, and we're pretty good at friendships, and so we kind of, you know, we're going to have small groups, and we're kind of, you know, we don't have so much need, but we're going to have people come to our house that they have need, and we're going to help them. That was kind of what we were thinking about. And so we went like that for quite a while. But over the course of time, we got more needy. and all of a sudden, life happens. And we got some curveballs. And we had some crises that happened in our lives. Some of them were health crises. Some of them were family crises, kid crises. We ran into problems. We needed help. Amen? We needed a safety net. We needed people to come alongside us. We needed people to come and pray for us. I remember times when I called the elders because they were my closest friends and connections at that time. I said, come over to my house. I need help. We need help. Come and pray with us. Come and talk to us. Come and counsel us. Come and encourage us. We're confused. We need help. We don't know what's up or what's down. You know, you have those times, and it's only a matter of time until it happens to you, or it happens in your family, or it happens in your life. Amen? Linda and I were talking just the other day. We were writing, and we said, you know, can we think of, we just started thinking of all the need that we know of in the body of Christ and in people's lives. And we said, can we think of one family in our church that doesn't have a crisis of some kind? You know, we couldn't think of anybody. Now, if we don't know you, well, maybe that's good. But all the people that we knew have got some kind of crisis going on in their life. There's some aspect of their life that they would change if they could. Amen. That causes them pain. That causes them to have need. We couldn't think of anybody, including ourselves. We're needy. We need help. We need support. We don't have it all together. We're in pain. We need encouragement. It's not fun to say, I need help. But every person I've ever known as a believer at some point says, I need help. Help me. No matter how put together they seem to be, it's only a matter of time. Amen? Do I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
You see, for Linda and I, in the earlier years of our ministry, we were givers. We loved to give. We gave financially. We gave of our time. We gave of our resources, our emotional resources. We gave and gave and gave and gave. And we thought that's kind of our role in life. We're givers. But then there came a time when we had to be takers. Amen? Well, we had to be takers. That we needed help. And so the truth of the matter is we're givers and takers. And we all are. And we need that. And sometimes, you know, we don't have to do with community. It doesn't mean that in community you're going to find the magic solution to your situation. Sometimes you just need the presence of other people who can weep when you're weeping, who can laugh with you and can cry with you and can be there for you and be there with you in whatever you're going through. Sometimes there are not some just in the name of Jesus, we can just in the name of Jesus, this problem away. Life isn't quite like that. Sometimes that happens, but there are times when that's not true. And you just need other people. But if you don't have anybody to call, if you don't have anybody to take from, you're in a bad spot. You don't have a safety net. And when you go through it, you're going to go through it by yourself. And there's nothing more horrible than going through a crisis or going through a difficult time by yourself. Fifthly, God has gifted and equipped you to help build community. Every one of you is gifted by God, and every one of you has something that you can contribute to build community. And remember, community is not found. Community is built. Whatever level of community we have in this church, or if you belong to a small group, or whatever you have in your life, whatever level you have, you built, that was built. It didn't just, you didn't discover it. And so sometimes, you know, we have the wrong idea about gathering together as a church. You know, sometimes we think if I'm not out here on a Sunday morning, or I don't attend my small group, or I say, well, I should be there, or I might miss something. But, you know, let's be truthful. I mean, if you didn't come to church on a Sunday morning, you didn't gather here on a Sunday morning, you could read a book, or you could listen to a podcast, or there's thousands of church services online. You could hear all kinds of great stuff out there, right? So sometimes we think, well, if I don't gather, I'm going to miss something. Well, that's true. You could miss something. But that's the wrong way of thinking. I can honestly tell you, I don't think like that. You see, if I don't gather, then yes, I could miss something, but the body could miss what I have to offer. And so every one of you has something to offer. And if you don't show up, if you're not engaging with friendships or relationships or in small groups, guess what? We are missing what you have. And we're going to be poorer for it. And that's what Scripture says. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, there's this well-known scripture that we've all quoted at different times, and it says this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so we've looked at that scripture and says, well, you know, don't forsake the assemblings of yourself together. We've quoted it with the idea that if you forsake the assembling of yourself together, you could miss something. That's not what the scripture is saying. It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, not because of what you would miss, but because of what they would miss if you don't show up. You know, sometimes I don't feel like going to church. Sometimes I don't feel like going to a prayer meeting. Sometimes I feel tired. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm just too tired today. Sometimes I feel like, well, I don't really need this. But I go anyways. You want to know the biggest motivator for me to go? Is that if I don't go, then I'm going to withhold that which God has put within me to release to the group that I'm going to go to. That I have something within me to contribute to community. And if I don't go, that piece is missing. So I go. Amen? I go. That's my highest motivation. We're going to go to the prayer meeting, not because I don't feel like going, I'm tired, but I'm going to go because it will encourage the saints if I go. It will encourage the saints if I go and pray. It will encourage the saints if I show up. Amen? You know, it's kind of interesting. I've had this happen to me a few times. You know, when I stepped down from being the lead pastor of the church, and then I stepped down from being with Lifelinks, and people would come up to me and they make this statement to me. They say, Dave, you don't realize how much it encourages us when you just show up and come to church on a Sunday morning. Even if you don't preach, you don't do anything, you just go sit in that chair. Somehow it encourages us just to know that you're there, right? You don't have to do anything. Just show up. I've had a number of people say that to me at various times. I thought, really? Really? It makes that much difference? Yeah, it does. But you know what? It's not just true of me. It's true of you too. It's true of you too. Because when you show up and I see you, say, oh man, that encouraged me. Just seeing your face this morning encourages me. Amen? We underestimate that. And so that's what Scripture is saying. That's what the writer of the Hebrews said. You see, many of us, or what happens in our society is people have a consumer mentality to do with church. Well, I'm going for what I can get. I'm going for what I can receive. That's the wrong mentality. I'm not going for what I receive. If I receive anything, it's a bonus. I go for what I can give, not for what I can receive. That's the attitude of Scripture. And so you all have an opportunity to bless. I mean, we're going to have a conversation here in a few minutes. You're going to have a cup of coffee, and hopefully some of you can hang around, and we're going to fellowship. And you don't know just what one encouraging word can do for somebody else. Maybe just say, hey, somebody shares something, some need with you. Say, hey, let me pray for you right now. Just pray for them. You don't know what just a word can mean to somebody else. You know, 2 years from now, you may not remember this sermon. Never mind 2 years from now, probably on Monday. But maybe somebody said something to you that you'll remember for the rest of your life. Or somebody encouraged you, or somebody prayed for you. You'll remember that far more than just another sermon. Finally, the last thing, the sixth thing is, God uses community to change the world. Did you know that? Jesus' plan was simply invest his life in a small group of people, which he did. He had the 12. And to build into their lives, and to equip them, and to encourage them. And then Paul wrote to Timothy, in his last letter to Timothy, this is kind of like Paul's last words to his key disciple, Timothy, and he says this, the things which you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. That's the plan. What's the plan to evangelize the whole world? Just gather a few people together and equip them and teach them and pour your life into them and encourage them. And encourage them to do likewise. And that's the power of the gospel. That changes the world. Christianity is the longest sustained revolutionary force in the history of the world. Did you know that? And it's still going on. Well, let me conclude real quick. Let me tell you why some people choose to avoid community. Some people avoid connecting with other people and making friends and making connections because it will cost too much. It will take time. Can I tell you that friendships are not very efficient? You ever found that out? If you want to have a true friendship, it's not very efficient. It takes a lot of time. And sometimes some people decide the cost is too high. Not only will it cost me time, it can cost me money. That's true. Or a second reason is some people don't want to get in connections or community because They're scared of being known. I don't really want people to really know me very deeply, because if they get to know me really deeply, they may not like me. So I'm not taking that risk. So I'm just going to hang back. And because they're too afraid that if they people discover the real you, they wouldn't like them. Let me share this with you. I've got a lot of different friends with a lot of different people and personality types and whatever, but I've discovered this, that if I actually get to meet the real person, I've always liked every person I've really met. If I've really met them, I always like them. They may be a lot different from me. They may think different than me on a whole number of things, but if I'm really meeting the real person, I always like that person. Doesn't matter who they are. It's when you can't meet the real person that there's barriers, or they're throwing you an image of what they think you might like. You can't relate to that. It's not real. I don't enjoy that. But I always enjoy every person I actually really meet. Thirdly, many people feel like, I'm okay. I don't really need friendships. I'm doing good. My life's good. I don't really need community that much. I'm good. I'm okay. If that's true, if that's what you're thinking this morning, I didn't do a very good job in this sermon. Fourthly, some people don't want friendships or community because, quite frankly, they'd just rather watch television. I'd rather watch TV. It's easier. It's designed to entertain you. And getting involved in people's lives can be messy. It can be difficult. The idea of getting close to people is actually more attractive than actually doing it. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of an author named John Steinbeck. Anybody heard of that guy? He won a Nobel Prize for literature. He wrote some famous books like Grapes of Wrath and East of Eden and books like that. Here's what he said one time. He said he was lonely because he liked people better in his mind than he did in person. He may not be the only person that thinks like that. Yeah, I kind of like people in my mind. I just don't want to meet them. And the last one is some people don't get into friendships because they don't know how. Or they don't get into community because they don't know how to get into community. And that's why we have small groups. Because we can teach you how to have friendships. We can teach you how to have community. It'll be a little messy. Won't always be nice. But if you want to learn, if you want true friends, if you want community, you can have it. You just have to be willing to build it like everybody else. And we as a church are prepared to help you to do that. And that's why we want to encourage you to don't just settle for what happens here on a Sunday morning. But our church is way more than that. There's way more to it than that. Amen? And small groups is just one aspect. That's not the whole story either. But it's a tool. It's a way of helping facilitate relationship and connections and friendships. And so I want to encourage you that there will be people in the foyer here right away that are willing to talk to you. Jeff and Carrie Campbell are there, and other leaders are there to answer any of your questions and to encourage you. So that's it. Let me pray with you this morning. Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you for those that are here this morning, those who are watching us online. And Lord, I just pray that you just create a hunger in us, Father, to flow with your Holy Spirit and build connections and relationships, and even on a greater level, on a deeper level, that we would invest in friendships and connections because, Lord, it's the best investment there is. And so, Lord, I just pray for every one of us. You would encourage us, whatever barriers would be in people's lives this morning. I pray, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you tear down those walls. You tear down those barriers. And Lord, I just want to thank and praise you that you've gifted every one of us. You've put something in each one of us that other people need. That other people need to have it. And so, Lord, we just pray for just a release of the grace and the gifting that's present in this body of believers. Lord, a release, Lord, of resources into the lives of other people. And that, Father, that people that become a part of our community would really experience it. Wouldn't just observe it from afar, but actually would enter in and actually experience it for themselves. And so, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to praise you. Lord, work in our hearts. Lord, help us, Lord, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us as a body of believers, that God, we would experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of your fellowship, Lord, and fellowship with one another, and that God, we would be changed from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.